Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Chairperson of the Board of ALECPO, as well as the CEO. Good morning to the officials of Parliament, officials of the Department of Public Enterprises, as well as the Secretariat. Good morning, Chairperson of the Board of ALECPO.
I believe that we are ready to start the meeting. And I wish to take this opportunity
recording in progress
to welcome all of you present here today. As you are pretty much aware that today we'll be entertaining a report and an update from ALECSCO in respect of community leadership stability, as well as getting an update generally on the performance of the entity. As you know that we met with ALECSCO a few months ago and we got a very positive report at that point, but we felt it necessary that we should convene again in this fashion so that we can get an update. Without any further ado, I now wish to say the meeting is duly open. And I will now request that the Secretariat assist us by giving us apologies that needs to be registered for record purposes. Amanda?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I have Honorable Ngwenya's Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Nana, Honorable Mudise, Honorable Nyambi, and Honorable Mukause's apologies. Thank you, Chair.
Let me, I hope I heard you, Amanda. I didn't hear the first part of your apologies, but we did receive an apology from the Honorable Minister. But that is not a problem because we do have the Deputy Minister present here. But we did receive a written apology from the Minister. I think I must say that upfront. Those are the apologies, Honourable Members. Is there any other apology other than that? That may be coming from someone else? No other apology. I think let's go straight to the first item on the agenda, which is the main thrust why we have convened today. Deputy Minister Obed Mapela, let me express my appreciation for your commitment to always honor these meetings because it makes our work quite very easy. Because without being there as the political leadership of the department, sometimes it can create a problem, but I'm saying that your consistency helps us to somewhat come to a level of efficiency and effectiveness in terms of doing our part as the select committee. I now wish to invite you, Deputy Minister, to start this presentation at your level to give sort of a political overview from the ministry's perspective. And if you can also, when you are finished, ensure that the entire delegation is then introduced as to who is coming from the department, as well as the board and the CEO of ALECSCO. We would like you to help us with the introductions for record purposes so that we know who is here in attendance. Deputy Minister, it is my honor and privilege to now invite you to assume the stage and address the Select Committee. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Select Committee, Honorable Mkiva, and to all members of the Select Committee, the SOP. And let me also greet the Chairperson of the ALECSCO Board, Dr. Trish Anekom, and leading some of the board members that will be introduced by her later. And then also welcome Prof. Trevor Fowler, the CEO acting, also with the management team. Chair, I'm in a particular fixed situation. I might be disappointing you today not to stay as long because I'm on the road somewhere in the Northwest in some rural areas. And what's happening is I was joining Deputy Minister Mopani Zulu, who was to hand over a facility that was built by Social Development. And I, as the District Development Municipality Champion of Ngagam during the Lema, was here to then also be part of wishing the community while in receiving a good delivery from government. Now, as I on my way to the place, just got the message that the Deputy Minister was admitted to hospital. So I then have to take over the program. She has just requested I spoke to her. She's stabilizing, not yet something serious as yet, but I'll then have to take over. So now I'm in this meeting and about to take over a function at the same time. But let it not trouble you for now. It's just that type of an emergency apology on my side. Chair, the Lexco board is geared to really lead in the content and the discussions and expectations that they will deliver based on the report, but also they'll be able to answer all the questions together with the management. The matter of the land claims, it's a successful story for every African to really get back their land and the land be restored to them. And it's one of those cases where a Lesco find itself in that area where the claimant was successful. And finally, there was an establishment of the CPA. But as you know, the troubles sometimes the CPAs go through. Unfortunately, that initial CPA that was established had its own challenges leading to its disbandment. And then they were under administration by the Department of Land and Rural Development for some time. Now they've since been reconstituted and now beginning to reassemble themselves and to focus on really ensuring that the land that has been successfully claimed can then also benefit them as communities. They will then explain, obviously, that historical journey, but the complexity of the situation is that Lesco is operating on the land, and the claimants also successfully said that they should be beneficiaries in the shareholding of the Lesco as a state mining company. And then there's a pool sharing joint venture that has been established to ensure that the community participate in the benefit of whatever Lesco is doing in the area. It's 51% Lesco and 49% Richfield Mining Community, RMC, which will also explain how it functions and how this new venture is composed and how they are able then to discharge their functions with difficulties that are there. So let me not go venture, but the board members are here and the CEO is here. They'll be able then to engage on those things. We just hope that going forward, and I think if there are such cases in the country, where the successful land claims and the state-owned entity is involved, we could then take lessons from the Lesco and how they are managing a very difficult environment under a situation where what their mandate is in fulfilling that mandate as a state mining company on diamonds, how that issue becomes difficult in that particular environment and in that industry. However, we are soldiering on. We are trying to ensure that for these things works. happen, and I hope along the way sanity will continuously prevail wherever the challenges arises, until we are able to be benefiting from the land claims. Of course, Southcourt is facing the same thing, though. We're not here about Southcourt. They've got a model which obviously theirs is not as complex as a Mexico one, but we can take lessons also from them in terms of managing the operations of a state-owned company in an area where land has been successfully cleaned. But there's a lot of transfer of assets that still has to happen. They'll also give you an update on that aspect of the assets. But so far from the ministry, we think the current board and the management has really put things together, having gone through a very difficult environment as a company, also with the state capture that unfortunately affected deeper. Let's go also among some of the state-owned entities in the public enterprise, and how they are rising from that particular crisis, and some positivity in terms of profits are not being realized. But the structure going forward is still some teething issues that we think will be resolved along the way and over the period. So let me stop there and allow through you, Chair, that the Chair of Lexco, Dr. Tishanego, can introduce the board and the management, and obviously lead on the discussion with those preliminary remarks from me and the unfortunate situation that I have to face now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm assuming that I can take over. And greetings to the Deputy Minister and the Honorable Members on the platform, as well as my colleagues from Alex Gore. And I think there are also some guests on the platform. I am joined obviously by the Interim CEO, Adjunct Professor Fahola, and a delegation from Alexander Bay. And if you'll allow, Chairperson, I'll just make a few comments to introduce the subject matter for today, which I understand to be the relationship with the CPA, as well as the financial position of the PSJV. And thank you for reminding us, Honorable Chair, that at the last time that we met you, we were at least relieved that there had been some overall improvement from a very dire situation that we found when we were appointed as a new interim board in February 2022. At the time, the CPA was dysfunctional, and we had the CPA represented by three court-appointed non-executive directors who were not from the community. And the PSJV board, which is the joint venture board that the minister referred to, was not operating with good governance practices in place. So since we last appeared at the select committee, the CPA has been properly reconstituted and has been operating since February of this year. We had approached the courts, and I think we indicated that to you, to request that the CPA designated representatives for the Richtersveld Mining Company, which has not been set up properly in terms of the requirements of the CIPC, that the designated directors replace the court-appointed directors. That eventually did happen in terms of a court ruling on June the 2nd of this year. And there is a one-year period that the court granted to allow the CPA to complete its processes of properly setting up the RMC so that they can appoint their directors rather than having directors continuing to be appointed by the court. So where we are now, as introductory remarks before I hand over to the CEO to go into the detail, is that we have a reconstituted CPA, we have designated directors of the RMC pending conclusion of processes to properly establish the RMC. And because of the dysfunctionality of the CPA and the RMC until this year, the CPA has not really, since acquiring the land and the mining rights, materially benefited in direct ways from having had their land restored to them. So our key focus is really to rebuild trust and ensure that the joint venture, which is responsible for both the land and marine mining, results in benefits for the CPA. The CPA is in a process, and the CEO will speak to this, of making its own decisions about how it would like to exercise its rights in terms of its ownership of the land and the land mining right. In the meantime, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the deed of settlement and unanimous resolution, it requires the PSJV, which is an unincorporated entity, to act as if it is incorporated. It never was incorporated after it was established. It does have implications for us in terms of our commitments with SARS and for paying UIF. And these are discussions we will now be able to have and conclude with the CPA, taking into account what their decisions might be with regard to exercising their rights as the owners of the land and the owners of the land right. I'm sure we might have some discussion of that after the presentation. And in the meantime, we continue to function as the PSJV. And our obligation in governance terms is obviously to take all of our decisions in the best interests of the PSJV itself and ultimately in terms of the benefits that flow to the CPA. With that, I'm going to project my screen as and I will hand over to the interim CEO, Adjunct Professor Fowler.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the officer.
We can't hear you. CEO, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Come again.
Can you hear me now?
Your reception is very bad, Trevor.
Okay. If I speak louder, can you hear me?
Yes, that's I can hear you now. Thanks, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll speak with that. May I turn off my camera so that we have to say and thank you. The presentation we're going to cover is on, first of all, the relations with the CPA. And then there's an aspect which affects the relationship with the CPA, which is the handover of the Alexander Bay town to the Richtersveld municipality. That handover then has certain implications for the handover of properties, etc. That's one of the issues that that I want to cover briefly. And the second then is the PSJV's profitability, the compensation to the CPA, and the future outlook. If we can go to the next slide. I'm just going to cover this briefly, but I think it's important just to recap on one point. In 2007, the land and the land mining right was awarded to the Richtersveld community. The marine mining rights were retained by AlexCor, and then according these were then pooled into and mined in a joint venture called the Pooling and Sharing Joint Venture. Next slide. And that was created in 2011. However, in 2012, the CPA did not function beyond that point, and it was put under administration, and as the chair of AlexCor has put forward, in February this year, they were reconstituted. The land mining right, all the marine and land mining is performed by the PSJV until such time as it is dissolved. The board held a workshop in July this year on the current tender process for the new mining contractors, which included the attendance of the chair and the deputy chair, a Mr. Swartboy and a Mr. Klutter. And the intention was to familiarize the CPA with the tender process, but also to build relations with the PSJV board members and the leadership of the CPA. We continue to have good relations with the CPA and supports the CPA in convening its general membership meetings, as well as consultation with members in the four towns. As you are aware, the Richtersveld is quite a large area and the towns are spread 65 to 70 kilometers apart, and the roads are not that great, and as a consequence, they need transport to be able to get from one to all of the towns. The internal functioning of the CPA is a matter which we feel the Cedar Tug CPA, Community Property Association, or the Department of Agriculture, Land Affairs, and Rural Development should address. However, to indicate that the Cedar Tug CPA wrote a letter on the 27th of September to the chair of the PSJV and AlexCor, that its executive committee had decided to exercise the call option in terms of clause 18 of the unanimous resolution, read with 8.3 of the deed of settlement. Let me just talk to that for a moment. The board of Alex Horn noted that the and recognizes that the CPA was a notification of intent, but it does not have an effect unless it is served by the Richtersveld Mining Company. The Richtersveld Mining Company currently is not functional and has not been functional for a period of time, and it requires its books to be done, it's to be audited, etc., to ensure that they comply with the CIPC requirements. The process which they've undertaken is that they have designated directors of the RMC, but they have not yet been able to appoint those members because the RMC still has some difficulties. It was being run by a single director, Mr. Matthews, who passed away, and since then it has not been functioning. So that's one of the areas that we can talk about a bit more. The handover of the management of the properties in Alexander Bay is triggered by the handover of the Alexander Bay Township town to the Richtersveld municipality. We've had discussions with the Richtersveld municipality, and we've agreed on the first phase, which is the handover of the electricity reticulation and responsibility. But it needs to, we have had meetings with the with NERSA, and the final step is really to call a meeting to inform the community of the implications of the transfer of electricity to the municipality and to complete that electricity handover. The challenge that faces the community is that currently the electricity is supplied at a concessional rate by Alex Corp, and they would have to charge their rate, which is probably twice what the rate that is currently being charged. So that's one of the challenges that the community faces and probably needs some assistance from COCTA, et cetera, to help them on that matter. We've also installed 400 meters to ensure that the water handover has happened, and we've had discussions with the Department of Water Affairs, and the Department of Water Affairs has indicated that Alex Corp, which has the right to extract water from the Orange River, should continue to be the water service provider, but the reticulation will be handled by the Richtersveld municipality. Next slide. I've already indicated this point that Alex Corp has the extraction license. The remaining services, such as roads, could be handed over to the municipality soon. We're still trying to get beyond the first phase. The completion of the process would release the 45 million that's held in trust to the community through the CPA. I would move on to the financial section now. This slide you may have seen before, but I thought it'd be important to recap. The current, these are preliminary slides because we are concluding our audit, which is being done by the Auditor General, and that will be concluded in probably in early December. So the group revenue, meaning for the PSJV, went up by 116% to 492 million. In 2022, it was 228 million. And this was assisted by the weak dollar-rand exchange and increased carat prices, as well as increased production. The profit for the year was 70 million. In 2022, it was 43 million, which was really a book profit. So it's up 63%. The pooling and sharing joint venture has seen significant improvement in diamond sales, which contributed to the positive financial position. The audit for the financial year 2022-23 is about to conclude. The production exceeded the target that we set for the year in 2022-23 of 34,000, and that is up from the production in the previous year, which was 20,400, and we exceeded to 34,683 carats. Alice Gore does not have any borrowings, and no dividends were declared. Go on to the next slide. I want to explain this slide. If you look at our revenue, the revenue in the first block, which says end of quarter two, is really for the quarter, the 3 month quarter, and that was 42,077,449 rands. And for the year-to-date, which is the next block that says year-to-date 2024, that's for two quarters at the end of September, it was 131,657,674 rands. And that is up from the year 2023 year for that same period was 56,678,144. So the first two quarters we've done fairly well. From operating expenses, our operating expenses for the year to date, which is to the 30th of September, was 64 million. We budgeted 74. We spent 64,921,639. And the previous year, it was 57,111,907 rands. The EBITDA for the quarter was 18,897,000. That's the last quarter to September. And for the year to date, it was 57,510,458 rands, and that's a 611% increase. The previous year, the EBITDA was for the same period was 7,601,000. The net profit is for year to date 59,391,374. For the same period in 2023, the 22-23 year was 2,366,662. If we could move to the next slide. So I've covered that by going through this. This is just written in words that the profit was 28,020.8. I won't repeat it. We'll go on to the next year because we've already covered this. It is anticipated the PSJV, given the current diamond prices. As you are aware, the diamond price has really collapsed for two reasons. The one is that the Russia is a significant producer, and that has had an impact because of the Ukraine-Russia war. But there's also a moratorium that has been put in place by India, which is the buyer of most of our diamonds. And that moratorium was from the 15th of October to the 15th of December. And we are about to close our tender for the current sale today. That will give us an indication whether the prices are still the same. We expect it still to be the same, and we don't expect it to recover until the end of at least until the end of this financial year. However, we'll still post a profit at the end of the year, despite because of the increased performance in the first two quarters. In relation to the planned compensation to the RMC, based on the deed of settlements, no payments are anticipated to the RMC pending full and final settlement of the initial cost contribution, which is now sitting at 114 million. At the beginning of the period when we started as a new board and myself as the CEO, interim CEO, the cost contribution stood at 184 million, which we've now reduced to 114 million due to the increased production in 2022 to date, from April 2022 to date. The completion of the process would release the 45 million. I've already mentioned that. If we could go to the next slide. Despite the improved performance, there is significant backlog to be addressed. There are inadequate funds to address several of the required capital projects, which require urgent attention. One of those is the water services. We have a six boreholes from which we retrieve water, which supplies both Alexander Bay and Port Nolloth and the surrounding areas around Port Nolloth. And we're in the process of refurbishing some of the boreholes. And we've also in the process of acquiring new equipment and generators to ensure that we are able to function despite the load shedding. We've also requested that Eskom excuse Alexander Bay from load shedding so that we can continue with the water supply. They have agreed, and they've done that now for a period, and we're waiting whether they're going to renew that that concession to the community. The sustainability of whether we are a going concern status requires constant attention, given it's the history of Alex Corp, and it's something that we're paying direct attention to. The operating model that we're utilizing is being reviewed by the DPE. They've completed a study, and they're in the consultation phase, and that'll be completed as soon as they complete the consultation. Just as a point, that the average price that we would land in our last sale was for the dollar per carat was around $780 per carat. $780 per carat, which then results in us being able to function not as well as we could, around $1,700 per carat, just as a point. Thank you very much. So it's one of the issues that we have to be very careful about in the next coming year. Thank you, Chair, Honorable Mkiva, and
Honorable Chair, before handing back to you, just to add for members who might not be familiar with what the call option entails, it's really the right of the CPA to exercise its option via the RMC to purchase the 51% share of Alex Gore in the land mining rights. And there are a whole lot of requirements that need to be met to exercise that option. So as Professor Paolo was saying, we've had communication from the executive committee formally indicating that the CPA has decided that they wish to exercise this option, which would, as and when the RMC is properly constituted, would need to be exercised by the RMC and in compliance with what is set out in the unanimous resolution, which was also why I was indicating in opening our input that the CPA's decisions will have implications in terms of how they wish to exercise that right. And in the meantime, our obligation is to carry out our fiduciary responsibilities and make decisions in the best interests of the PSJV. With that, thank you, Chair. That concludes our presentation.
No, thank you very much, Trish. This is Lindwe Pipi. I'll be assisting Honorable Chem Kiva because he has got a problem of the network. So meanwhile, I'll be acting on his behalf. Thank you very much for your presentation. Now, this is the opportunity for the members to ask questions. And Amanda is going to assist me. I mean, the members that want to ask questions. Over to you, members. There's a presentation. It's over to you for questions and clarities. Amanda, you'll assist me.
Ma'am, so far there are no hands up.
There are no hands up.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have got some couple of questions.
Sorry, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am. Honorable Fisa has just raised her hand.
Okay, Honorable Fisa, let me start with you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first question, I've got a few questions. The first one I want to know is, Alex Corr has not produced annual reports for 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2022. How far are they with seeing that their financial responsibilities are met? If I can answer that one. And then also, Alex Corr has only fulfilled phase one, namely replacement of asbestos roofs in Alexander Bay and mining infrastructure three phases. When is Alex Corr going to fulfill its historical environmental rehabilitation? In example, infilling of old prospecting and mining trenches where they will never be mining again, and removing and grading rock dumps and other fine and coarse tailing dumps over areas that will not be mined in future. This is the first round. Thank you.
Are you done, Honorable Professor?
Honorable Chair, I just want to look at my notes and just confirm the questions. For the questions, I'll have another one. Okay, but I can answer that in the meanwhile.
Okay, Amanda, is there anybody also, anyone who wants to ask questions from the members?
No, Chair.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Trish and the team. I also have got a couple of questions here with me. The first one will be, I think in your last appearance before this committee, it was agreed that the outstanding obligations of 6, 7, and 8 of the agreement, as stipulated in the deeds settlement, must be completed on or before 21st August 2023. Was this achieved? And the second question will be, the committee requests Alexo to, we want you to elaborate on the three projects that were previously identified for Alesco diversification strategy. Now, are they viable projects, and what is their current status? That is my second question. And then the third one, it will be, you should update this committee on its relationship with the Richards Veld community and its community structures, in particularly the CPA. Well, I did hear you touching on it, but we need you to elaborate on that. And again, we'd like to have an update on the activities of the Richards Veld Alexco handover task team. And it was able to meet all its set deadlines. We just want to check your deadlines regarding that. And also, we have acknowledged that it has not invested in exploration and necessary capital equipment and also technology that has the potential to turn the company prospects and company operations around. Now, are there any plans in place to rectify this? And also, we come to, according to you, a large-scale exploration and mining tender awarded to Ayana, which lacked capacity. Now, how was the tender awarded, and has the mistake been rectified? The last one, but not least, now, in the 2021 and 2022 financial year, Alesco saw the departure of the GM, finance, CEO, financial manager, and supply chain officer. What is the cause of this exodus? And the last one, but not least again, I understand that you are using small boat-based divers to extract your diamonds from the sea. Now, my question there is, how safe and secure this process from everybody else, that is from the divers themselves to the people handling them for packaging? I'm asking this question, Trish, from a risk assessment point of view. Thank you very much. I've got those questions. I know there are quite a number of them, of which I think maybe you have jotted them, Trish. I'm sorry about that. I just need really to know more about that one. Over to you, Trish, and your team.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Let me ask Professor Paolo to come in first, and if he hasn't covered anything, especially the issues that are related to governance, I will add after his input.
Thank you, Chair. To address the first question by Honorable Fisser about the asbestos rooms, that process currently is being looked at by the Directorate of Priority Crimes Investigation. In relation to award of a tender in 2017. And we have been providing them with the information. They now have the documentation that's required. So they are continuing to look at the process to see if the award was done correctly. And, the asbestos roofs, some of them are still in place, and we will be completing that. One of the challenges is that the finances in 2021-22 year were not adequate to really address the kind of capital requirements that there are. To fix the roofs, because the cost of mining was slightly greater than the cost of than the revenue that was received. Although there was a profit recorded, it was a book profit, and there was also a loan, which was the ICC loan, which had been impaired, and once it was removed from being impaired, it was put into the income column, which then boosted the income by a certain amount, which we have now corrected. With regard to the mining trenches, the current mining approach has been for the past several years is that rehabilitation is done concurrently with the mining, and that is the arrangement that has been in place. And the new tender, which we are in the process of going through the final stages of the award, will certainly ensure that that happens. And some of the areas include some of the historic tailings dumps, and those tailings dumps will then be addressed through that tender. And in addition, the board has approved that the company should start doing the rehabilitation of the old mining dumps. The plan that we have for the rehabilitation plan indicates a period of 7 years, and we expect that the life of the mine is about 10 years, but we are starting to do that so that by the end of the period that we haven't yet concluded that work, but when that work begins, we anticipate that by the end of the period, we will have rehabilitated many of the items. Let me then go on to some of the outstanding obligations that needed to be completed by the 21st of August. One of them was the handover to the Richtersveld municipality. What has happened since the last meeting, there has been a change in the municipal manager. They have appointed a new municipal manager at the Richtersveld Mining Company, who is now still becoming familiar with the process, and we anticipate that we will have the public meeting so that we can start to conclude the handover process. So it's not completely in our hands. It relates also to the municipality being able to undertake some of these obligations. That's the one aspect. The diversification projects are issues that are raised in the study done by the DPE, and when that is concluded, I'm sure they will present that to the committee. In relation to the community structures, I am not fully familiar with all of the community, the progress thereon, but I can allude to some of them. The challenge is that the community structures, which are 10 companies, must be put in place to ensure that you are able to get the appointment to the board of the Richtersveld Mining Company. And that's one of the issues. So besides the fact that the company has been dormant, the process of appointment is also a lengthy process. The self-development company, which is the one that appoints, I believe has not yet been fully constituted, although from a CPA point of view, they've appointed people to be on the self-DevCo, but as a company, it is not yet functional. It is a rather complex arrangement, and it is explains why it is taking the Richtersveld community or the Cedar Club CPA such a while to get things going, because of the complex interrelated nature of all of the CPA companies. Let me go on to the next one, which is the handover task team. I did mention that that the handover task team has met. We have made progress around the water, in that the water affairs has indicated that they didn't expect the Richtersveld municipality to try to take that over, but to allow Alex Gore to continue to be the water service provider, and the Richtersveld municipality would be the water service authority. That's appointment of Alex Gore as the water service provider by the municipality has not yet taken place, although in practice we are supplying the water. But there's significant infrastructure that needs to be put in place, which is beyond the capacity of Alex Gore or the PSJV, which is that there is an 80-kilometer pipeline that needs to be refurbished. We've started refurbishing certain portions of it, but the full pipeline, the municipality has, in fact, put out a tender along with the Department of Water Affairs to be able to refurbish that that pipeline. That hasn't yet been awarded to ensure that work commences on that. However, the work that we are doing is upgrading certain sections, and the Richtersveld municipality has undertaken some work, which is to really address the question of the points at which the pipeline is aerated. They have ensured that the aeration is optimal and has been repaired and would function optimally so that it does not affect the supply of water. On the question of the appointment of GM Finance, Supply Chain, the previous CEO resigned in January of 2022, and soon thereafter, after the board had been appointed, the financial manager was resigned as well, along with the finance director, as well as the person responsible for procurement. We have advertised for the procurement post and are in the process of filling that post. Appointments are to be made. At the time, there was no CFO. We've appointed an acting CFO. That's Ms. Lebo Malakalaka. She is the acting CFO. So we've made some progress in addressing it, but we've still got a long way to go to get all of the appointments made, including appointment of the CEO and the CFO. The current CFO is acting. The advertisement for the two posts have gone out. There has been a delay because we wanted to ensure that the new CPA representatives to the PSJV board were appointed, which has happened, and they are aware of the situation. There's some difference of point of view as to how this should be carried out. However, to ensure that the board meets its fiduciary obligations, we are proceeding with the appointments to ensure that we fulfill this this obligation that we are required to do in terms of legislation. A lot of the mining is done by two different types of mining in the marine mining. We have deep sea mining. The deep sea mining, there's really not many deep sea miners around. De Beers has a vessel, and there's a company called Transhex Marine, which has the other vessel. They have responded to the tender, and that is likely to be awarded fairly soon because there appears to be there are not many competitors in that area, but that would proceed soon. The small miners, we have a decompression chamber. Should there be a situation where divers stay down too long and get what's referred to as the bends? I don't know. Dr. Hanekom will be able to tell you what the medical term is, but you need to go into a decompression chamber to ensure that your blood, the nitrogen in the blood, and does not affect you. And Dr. Hanekom can talk to that issue. But we have such a chamber, and we are fairly strict in observing what the divers do. So they go out and they are required to dive only for certain periods of time. If you go to a depth of 20 meters, I believe they can only stay down for 20 minutes, and they must rest for 4 to 6 hours thereafter after they come up. So they come up slowly, and once they reach surface, they must then not go down again only after about 4 to 6 hours, depending on the depth. So it is a risk that we are looking at, and we follow to ensure that those are addressed fully as a, from a risk assessment point of view. Let me find out if the mine manager wishes to add. Dion Bowers is the mine manager. They may be having some difficulty there. I'll find out as if there's any points that Dr. Hanekom wants to add. I'll find out from the team if there are any points that the mine manager wishes to add. Thank you very much. I hope I've gone through most of the questions. I don't think I've answered every single question, and you may need to repeat it. Thank you. Dr. Hanekom.
Thank you, Professor Paola. If I can make a few additional points, and I see that the Director General and delegation from the department are also here, and they may wish to comment specifically on the issues of economic diversification. I think this is an issue that has been raised both in the Select Committee and in the Portfolio Committee, and really belongs more fully with the department. Our job and our mandate as Alex Gore is to ensure that we throughout the 51% share in the PSJV are responsible for land and marine mining in the pooling and sharing joint venture. But there is very important work that the department is doing, which really one would hope will usher in a different economic future for the West Coast. And we all know that diamond mining has been taking place in the West Coast for approximately 100 years. And mines do have an end of life. So the diversification really is the economy of the future for the West Coast. But if I could also add to that, that the view of the board and management is that it's critically important for that economic diversification to materialize, to have stability in the mining operations. And hence, to repeat it for a third time, I'll focus on ensuring that we take the best possible decisions in the interests of the PSJB, because it would be an absolute tragedy if instability in mining results in rampant Zama-Zama activity and all the negative consequences that go along with that, jeopardizing those big economic projects that are planned. So to link that to the point Professor Fowler was raising about the current operations and the rehab and the recap, and I think, Chairperson, you also spoke about the issue of our investments in exploration. There's going to be a fine balancing act in making decisions about what would make the best financial sense given that we're not looking at another 100 years of mining. And as we all know, exploration is very expensive. And there's really, for the current process of new mining contracts being awarded, there has been very good work done by mining engineers to assist us in ensuring that we use the best information at our disposal for managing the awarding of those new contracts. The second point I wanted to make is just with regard to the outstanding obligations. And indeed, our last meeting with you ended with an indication that these obligations should be concluded before the end of August. Much of it is out of our control. I think the department has also really been absolutely diligent about ensuring that we systematically conclude all of these obligations, and I'm sure would indicate that 95% of those obligations have been met. But there are matters that are not within our control. So, for example, handing over the town to the municipality is a two-way agreement, and the municipality has to accept the handover of the town. Handover of the town means handing over the financial obligations that go along with accepting the handover of the town. So I think that the work, as Professor Fowler has said, is very much on track, but it's about the state of readiness for all aspects of the handover and the financial implications for local government, which we know is really, really struggling, that means that there remain some outstanding items that will indeed be concluded, and there is work in progress on that. The third thing I wanted to raise was just on the issue of what led to the exodus of staff. And the former CEO, when he left in January, actually recruited to join him at African Exploration Minerals, and the three people you mentioned were all recruited to join him. I think only one of them had been of any significant tenure in AlexCore. It does beg a question about the whether someone who is leaving one part of the state and going to another part of the state, whether there should be restraint in recruiting out of another entity and weakening it. Which leads me to the last point I wanted to make. I had understood Honorable Fisser to be also asking about our annual reports or integrated reports. If I understood incorrectly, apologies, but in any event, I think the information is information that we haven't necessarily reported to the Select Committee. So Professor Fowler already spoke about the fact that there had been a loan impaired prior to our tenure, which was in the 2021-2022 financial year, and it was in 2021 and it got reversed. So if you were to look at a chart of the profitability of the PSJV, there is a spike for 2021 because of the impairment of the initial cash contribution loan, which there was no legal basis for implementation. The audit for 2020-2021 was completed only in, I think, May of, maybe even later of 2022, and we have reported on that. The 2021-2022 audit was going to be completed by the same auditors, and we had requested the AGSA to opt in for 2023-2024. There was a reportable irregularity, and the IRBA indicated that reported on this, and it resulted in the AGSA taking a view that there was risk for our audit for 21-22, and they completed the audit recently, and the AGM was held in September. They are busy now with the 2022-23 audit, which will be completed before the end of the calendar year, but not with sufficient time to hold the AGM in this calendar year because of the fast approaching year end. So by the commencement of the 24-25 financial year, hopefully the entire backlog in dealing with the reporting responsibilities of the group will no longer apply, and the AG will be able to commence the audits on time, and we will be able to meet our reporting obligations on time. Within that, I must also just comment that the AGSA in their audit report for 2021-2022 did include a clause expressing their concern about the need for both temporary and permanent internal capacity. The model for the PSJV changed from one where the PSJV mined itself to the PSJV employing contractors to mine. And as you know, before we were appointed in 2022, there had been a big retrenchment exercise, and we have really, really struggled. And from the side of the board, we have repeatedly thanked Professor Fowler and the management team for keeping the mining operations in progress, and in fact, now turning a profit under extremely difficult circumstances, because the company was really in a very serious state of decline at the time we were appointed in 2022. So I thought I would add those comments just to provide the context. There's still an immense amount of work to do, but I think we can truly say that it's a recovering SOE at this stage. And Chair, you may want to invite the DG to comment on the issues that are not really the purview of Alex Gorn, the PSJV, that are related to the economic diversification and the shareholders' expectations of Alex Gorn. Thank you.
Chair, okay, just to...
Okay, continue. Continue, yes. Sir.
Yes, my apologies. I just wanted to report that the mine manager, they appear to have a problem coming in. But just to indicate from a risk point of view, we also provide the required legal training or the legally required training for the operators on the land, for the divers, and the supervisors, and also about lifting equipment. And in the new tender, we're looking at how we can increase the security on the boats so that we have cameras on the boats. On the large boats, the one that's owned by Transex Marine, of course, we have a security person on the boat, as well as they have camera footage that ensures that not only from a security point of view in terms of theft, but also from a process point of view, that they are following the appropriate processes to ensure the safety of the divers, the safety of the staff, etc. Those are the kinds of efforts we undertake to ensure that there is safety on the mine, and we address that regularly. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Acting CEO. Just want to check with Honourable Fessel whether does she have any follow-up questions? Honourable Fessel, do you have any follow-up question?
No, thank you. I'll be done with that. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Honourable Fessel. I think on your side, Trish, Dr. Trish, you have exhausted, I mean, all the questions that we have asked from you. And at this moment, I would like to hand over to the chairperson. I want to check, Amanda, is the chairperson already in the platform? Amanda?
Hello, ma'am.
Which chairperson is the person around? I'm handing over to him.
You can hand over to Dr. Trish, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Dr.
Trish, were you going to say something?
No, Chair, I think we're done. And unless there's anything more you want from us, or if you do want the DG to come in on the economic diversification, I'm assuming that you will excuse us when you proceed with the rest of your meeting. And as always, we appreciate the opportunity to engage with the Select Committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Trish. Is the DG around?
It looks like she's fallen off. Oh, there she is.
Chair, yes, I am here.
Okay, over to you, Sissy.
Yes. Chair?
Yes. DG, over to you. Do you want to say something? Into the presentation.
I think the chair and the CEO, they have covered us. And also with the deputy minister earlier on, we have been covered. And we also have the colleagues of the department as well who've joined us. So thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tichi. Amanda, I'm heading over to the chairperson. Chairperson, Honorable Mkiva, over to you.
Sorry, ma'am, I think you may excuse the guest. The chairperson is still having the network.
Okay, thank you very much, our guests of today, Dr. Trish, and also the acting CEO, the DG, and also thanks to the Deputy Minister with Absentia for your presentation, of which we do appreciate it because, I mean, you have, I mean, replied to every questions for clarities. I would like to release you now, then I'll hand it over to the chairperson for the committee's issues. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank okay, you. Thank you so much, Trevor. Right. I appreciate it. Right. Okay, bye.
Right.
Bye-bye.
May you please continue, Mama Chairing.
Okay, I just want to check, Amanda, for the next item about the minutes. Do we correct for the minutes?
No, we do not.
Okay, no, thank you very much, honorable members, for attending, of which I think there's nothing for us to discuss because we can't adopt the minutes when we are not correcting. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.